This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about everything from episode 10 of RuPaul's Drag Race season 14. It was Snatch Game, or was it Snatch Game? I don't know. Another non-elimination, but we will get into everything from that episode, as well as touching on the Drag Race UK versus the World finale. That's right. It's over. It's done. So we'll talk about the winner and all of that. But first, let me welcome in our fabulous panel who's here to help me break everything down. First, woman who I'm always happy to talk to. It is Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you?
I'm doing well, but I'm really excited to investigate both of these episodes. What made the winner of UK versus the world? And what made possibly one of the worst Snatch Games ever happen?
That's right. We're not giving commentary. We're just investigating.
Yeah, I'm not judging. I'm just investigating.
All right. And the panel would not be complete without the wonderful Aman Adwin. Aman, how are you?
I'm great. I'm kind of sad because I did not get to watch this episode at the bar that I usually go to because my buddy came down with a bit of an illness. Not COVID or anything like that. He just got sick. So I just stayed in for the next one, but I would have loved to have been there to see the audience's reaction in real time to this doozy of an episode. But yeah, I'm great. Glad to be back.
Yeah, doozy of an episode indeed. So Deja Sky does get her first win, which we had touched on that, you know, and she mentions herself, the Susan Lucci, no longer. She has her first win. It was a Snatch Game, but apparently everybody else was so bad that we simultaneously couldn't eliminate anybody because everybody was so bad. So we have to have a separate lip sync Lollapalooza Smackdown something. Yeah. I don't even remember the name in next week's episode, which I guess will send one queen home, two queens home.
The way I need them to send three queens home next week in order to be on track.
Yeah. There are eight queens left still.
Eight whole queens that are left in this competition.
And going into episode 11.
Episode 11 on a season that usually has around 14 to 15 episodes. Yes. We still have eight queens. And I'm interested about that too. It's like, is this like tournament style? So like when somebody loses, do they then go and like lip sync the next loser and you just whittle it down to one? Like they should just send two people home. They should just send two people home.
Elton John might tell us how it goes next week. So,
oh yeah, right.
That was such a random moment in UK versus.
Oh my god! In UK versus, we'll talk about the random cameos that Ru purchased that were like clearly not personalized at all.
Cameos,
but yes. So Aman, I totally get what you're saying. Also, because there's seven queens, so how are we gonna? Is it can't just be everybody lip syncs because I don't know, something about the name Lollapalooza Smackdown lip sync thing makes me feel like it has to be something bigger, like multiple rounds. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I guess it's like the thing that they did in All Stars 4 when they had everybody come back and lip sync their way back into the competition, I guess. So it's like, everybody will, they'll just pair people off, and then the winner, whoever wins the first round is safe. And then you have all the losers go against each other, and then whoever loses that is out.
But they have an odd man out.
You would still have multiple. Yeah, that's
Because there's seven. So you would have two. Okay. You would have three groups of two with one left over. So maybe a three, because we've seen a three-person lip sync before, because in the season premiere of 12, Tina Burner lip synced against three. Like, there were three of them.
It was Elliot,
Kimora, maybe, and Tina Burner. Anyway, whatever. They've done a three-person lip sync SmackDown before. Also, we have the finale of season 10. It also has three. So we could do
everyone
like
one but Asia.
Yeah. Oh, yikes. So we could do two groups of two and one group of three.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the winners move on, and then we're left with four. And then they face off. And then the losers of that lip sync face off. Then that's one, two, three, four, five, six. That's six lip syncs.
Or we could go even crazier. Ready for this?
Okay.
Everybody lip syncs by themselves, all seven.
Okay.
Whichever one is the weakest is kind of put off to the side, maybe. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then you have the other pairs go against each other. And then it's lip syncing until there's a loser, essentially. So once you win, you're safe and you don't have to lip sync.
So the one who's the best, the one who did the best out of the seven is safe. And then the losers lip sync?
So what I'm thinking of is, I think he really wants to punish them, right? So if you're like the worst.
Okay. The absolute worst, like the worst.
You're the outsider one. And then everybody is kind of going, you don't want to stay in the competition, basically. So everyone's going to have to lip sync at least twice.
Okay.
I don't think that's how it's going to go. But I'm just thinking, if he wants to be fucking crazy, RuPaul will do something like that.
You know, I'm just not particularly enamored with a lot of the girls that are left in terms of like the lip syncing skills. Okay. We don't really have a lot of Trinity K. Bonet's or Laganja's or.
And Deja, who's the lip sync assassin, isn't even going to lip sync.
I know.
Yeah. Like,
just chill.
So I'm just worried.
She does lip sync, but she's just safe. Whoever goes against her.
I don't think she's going to compete. But sorry, I'm on. Keep going.
Sorry.
I was just saying, I'm just worried that we're going to get a slew of songs that are going to be wasted.
Yes. 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 You are exactly correct. Because even the queens that I would say are like the true lip sync assassins, like the Jasmine Kennedys, the Georgeses of the world, we've now seen them lip sync multiple times. So even that, like, the allure is gone. So Angeria, okay, who haven't we seen? Angeria, we haven't seen lip sync.
Willow.
Willow. And Bosco?
Lady Camden.
And Lady Camden. Okay,
oh, no, we have seen Lady Camden, but that was for the win.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, okay, Lady Camden, I'm excited for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we could see more of Lady Camden.
I'm excited to see Bosco. I've seen her lip sync on videos, and she's good.
Okay.
She is entertaining. She's not like she's a dancer, but she's not like a Jasmine Kennedy kind of dancer. She's just like, she really takes on the song in a unique way. So she's fine.
Okay. Yeah. And that's the thing is like, because we haven't seen four of them lip sync yet. Okay. Maybe now we'll have, or three of them, I guess now we'll have the opportunity to see that, but we have seen Diabetti lip sync because remember she was sent home week one. Mm-hmm. We have seen Lady Camden lip sync, but like you mentioned for the win, Deja, we've seen lip sync, but it doesn't matter. She's not participating. Jasmine Kennedy and Georges, we have seen multiple times now.
Yeah.
So yeah. Look, when Diabetti was like, am I irritated that there are eight of us left? Or eight of us still here, or whatever she said. Absolutely. And I was like, yes, absolutely. And then we went and still didn't eliminate someone. And I was like, yes, absolutely. It's so frustrating because you're taking a season that is a good season, and I feel like you're just ruining it by doing these non-eliminations. One of my friends texted me, and she was like, by comparison, Bob had already been crowned by episode 10. Like, Bob had already won a season by this time. And we have eight queens left. Oh, I'm so annoyed.
It's just about the money, I guess, and these advertiser dollars. Like, as you just stretch the season out, more money for the network, more money for RuPaul. Somebody was like, here's a novel idea. How about you just cast more queens and just eliminate the queens?
No, but seriously, though, like, just have 16 queens. If you want to have a season that's long, that long, just cast more queens. I know that VH1 requires so many more episodes than Logo ever did, and it seems like they're increasing it every year. And for, to that question, I say, you already have Untucked PH1. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't really, I want you to know, none of us care to have more episodes.
Yeah.
I just
think back to, and this is like not just out of the realm of Drag Race, but I just think back to Viola Davis. I remember reading an interview that she did when she had initially signed on to become Annalise Keating and How to Get Away with Murder. And she was looking at Grey's Anatomy and she was looking at Scandal, and she noticed how those shows, their seasons are like 20 plus episodes, right? Not all of them, but most of them. And she was like, you know, I don't really care to be Annalise Keating for like one third of the year. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of want, I kind of want there to be, there should be urgency when it comes to when we write these episodes, because we know that we're only going to get a finite amount. And so she only agreed to be on the show for 15 episodes per season. Okay. So that way, when it, when the going, like when the show is about to reach the end of its life and you know that it's time to wrap things up, you end it nicely. So How to Get Away with Murder had 15 episode seasons, six seasons. Okay. And it, it went from 2014 to 2020. It was a beautiful run. She got like three nominations. She got the Emmy. She was the first African American woman to win an Emmy in a dramatic series. And it just went out on a completely beautiful high note. Right. That's the way to do it, RuPaul. Like, I know that you want money. I get it, but just tell VH1, because they're not VH, like, and maybe I'm overestimating what the power that RuPaul has, or maybe I'm just underestimating his greed. I feel like you have the power to be like, you know, we're doing a little bit too much here. And plus, we already have so many different international versions of the show. If you can't get enough Drag Race here in the States, go abroad. Okay. There are like, put that $3 in that, that Wow Wonder account, World of Wonder account. And just watch Drag Race to your heart's content. But for here in the States, what I want for us to have is 12 episode seasons. That's it.
Yes.
I feel like VH1 would have no choice but to be like, all right, well, it is your show, so I guess we're just going to have to abide by that. It just
and seems especially since these episodes are now an hour and a half. Like, it's just like, it's too many slices of pie. Like, you have like 17,000 episodes at an hour and a half every week. Now, don't get me wrong, I was super excited when they stretched it out to an hour and a half, because now I feel like we're getting more character background of the queens. Yeah, we also know that a lot of that could be like manufactured by production, but most of it feels a little bit more organic now than it had in the past, which is good. And we're seeing more of these wonderful character moments in addition to the silliness. I like that we've gone back to mini challenges. I love that kind of the camp of it that created such a wonderful feeling on Logo. Like, we're finally recapturing that. Just need you to cut down on episodes a little bit. Now, I will say the one reason why I'm happy that we're, I still have four people on my draft. So I haven't had to lose anybody.
I mean, there is that as well. I mean, I must say, even my body.
It has been nice for you to hold on to Georges.
Georges is just the gift that keeps on giving, baby. You, that's right, Georges. You better stay in that competition, sweetie. But I'm just like, look, RuPaul, like you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. Like, blink twice if you need help, because we need help out here. It's, and you can still have gag worthy seasons. You can still, like, I mean, we, it's not like we were like, season five is still considered one of the best seasons of the show, and it did not drag itself out for half the year. Okay, you can still, if you want to have a double Shantae in there, do it, and then eliminate three queens the next episode. Like, do it. You know, if you really want to do that, then do it. But it's just, you know, it doesn't have to be this way. That's all.
I feel like Drag Race is going through a lot of the growing pains that other reality TV shows have gone through, which is this feeling, this need to outgag themselves every single season, to have the new twist, the new this, the new that. Whereas, like, if you just, who's that little birdie mentioning other reality TV shows? I don't know. I can't hear it. You just need good people. Just cast entertaining people. And I would even say this cast is entertaining. Just let them, like, be themselves, be entertaining, and just stop, because I'm looking at the thing right now. So technically there were two elimination episodes at the beginning of the season, but then because Orion and Daya were brought back, they don't really count as non-eliminations.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. So, okay. So that's okay. So two non-eliminations, then another non-elimination when they all did well and it was the top two. Then we had a non-elimination last week and now we have another non-elimination this week. That's five of your 10 episodes were non-elimination episodes, essentially. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. In what universe, in what other reality TV show are half of your episodes non-elimination episodes?
Edge of Extinction.
Well, that, technically none of them are elimination episodes until the very, very end. I guess Keith leave.
Yeah.
Sandra left and Winners at War.
Sandra left, yeah, exactly, whatever. Anyway, the point is that I'm annoyed and I'm frustrated and I want to love this show because I do love the show. But when this is happening, it's just so much. And I can I don't even want to go back and listen to what we were saying last week. But I remember seeing well, you know, it's kind of annoying, but we're okay because it's going to be fine.
No, it's annoying now.
Next week. I'm annoyed.
We're in the middle of March and no one's been eliminated this month, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what everybody kept saying. A queen is not going home in the entire month of March.
Let's contextualize that though. It's two episodes. It's 2 weeks, which is a lot, but they're the entire month of March. I'm we're 2 weeks in.
I don't care.
If we get to the end of March, it's gone. That's a snack.
By the time Friday rolls around, it'll be what? March 20th or so? March 19th?
March 18th.
We will have gone a third of the way, two thirds of it into March, watching the same
bitches. Oh, 100%. the one thing I think we can count on is somebody's friggin' going home on Friday.
Dude, I hope so. If it doesn't happen, that's it. I'm done. You guys are on your own. You can finish the podcast season all on your own. I'm out.
We'll just quit. Instead of doing podcasts every week, we'll just do a group rant session on Twitter spaces or whatever they are. Just everybody who wants to come in, come chat. We're going to just have a therapy time.
It's at some point, to the queens, I don't know how much they're getting paid, but I'm wondering, is being on Drag Race even going to be financially worth the hit after a while? You could have probably made so much more money just staying in NYC or wherever the fuck you are, going to gig after gig after gig, maybe multiple times a week, and getting that little $1,000 little stipend that they give you. It might be a little bit more. I don't know how much it is. But after a certain while, if they keep you there in LA in that hotel for 3 months, and is it worth it, girl?
And during the pandemic, sure, worth it. Obviously, we're still in the pandemic, but things have opened up now. Drag is happening outside. It's worth it.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
All right. Well,
can we actually talk about the episode?
Yeah, I was I can't decide if I feel better or not. I think I feel better. But yeah, let's talk about the episode. So I just want to jump right into Snatch Game because really, it's Snatch Game Runway, I guess the mini challenge, I suppose. But let's actually talk about the Snatch Game, right? Because the whole reason why no one went home is because everyone was so bad except for Deja. So I guess the first question is, do you guys feel like that is an accurate assessment of the Snatch Game this week? Was it so bad that it warranted sending everyone but Deja into an elimination smackdown?
No.
No.
Okay, good. I'm glad we're all on the
same page. This was better than season 4. Putting that out there. Season 4 had two people who did really well and everybody else was awful, and then you had Latrice, who was just mad at how bad people were doing, so she didn't even do anything. You know what I mean? This was people trying at the very least.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
And they got some laughs from RuPaul and from the audience. I don't think that everybody's performance here, and to be quite honest, I'm glad that Deja won, but I mean, it's kind of hard. Because I think that she definitely should have won. She was the best by far. Mm-hmm. Totally get it. But in the context of the great performances of Snatch Game, I don't know if this is up there. So I'm if she's the benchmark, then surely the rest of the girls don't deserve to be at the bottom. Because I love that Dia Betty, even though everybody's giving her so much grief for being like the bitter old bitch in the bitter Betty in the confessional. She's like, you're saying I was as bad as them? Are you serious? Like,
that was my favorite confessional from this. You're saying I was as bad as Jasmine this week? There's a clip of Willow at play in Kentucky, like at the bar, and they're filming that moment, and you see Dia Betty's response, and Willow freaking loses it laughing, like almost falls off of her seat because it's so funny to her. And I'm like, yes, it was so good. I'm going to say this. I actually think Jasmine was better than most of the other people, because at least Betsy DeVos doesn't know what the fuck is happening. Like, she was in character. I actually really liked her. My team did not prepare me for this. Like, I thought that was fine. And the way that they had silence, I was like, no, but that's really Betsy DeVos. Like, like, I don't know what people were so upset about. Meanwhile, Dia Betty did nothing remotely related to Ozzy Osbourne. And that's not even Ozzy. I don't know what you're doing there.
There was the one head joke at the beginning during the introduction that made me laugh. And yeah, apart from that, not a whole lot of jokes. Look, I would say for me, this is the perfect example of the power of editing. I think 100%. You take this Snatch Game and you show it against other garbage Snatch Games, which we have had right in the past. And you see the way that they edit the laughter. They edit Rue cackling over some of the other jokes, because I was listening, like some of Lady Camden's jokes, I actually thought were really funny. And they just edited nothing. So this is my conspiracy theory, is that like this was their plan all along. And so they told the crew, don't laugh. I don't care how funny you think it is. Don't laugh, because then they're also going to get in their own head and it's going to be worse because they're not getting the reaction from the crew that like would theoretically be there reacting. And Rue's doing the same thing. And you can tell because Rue like starts at the beginning laughing at everybody and then just like stops halfway through. It's super weird. I think it's a conspiracy theory. I think they're like, they're messing with them. They were planning on this. Yeah, because
Rue will laugh at anything normally, so.
Yes. And there was I'm sorry. In what universe do you not get a kombucha joke? When they're like, I don't get it. What do you mean you don't get it? It's kombucha. She has goop. They have candles. It smells like her vagina. So of course she would have kombucha, which is kombucha. I'm like, oh, is this like a Drag Race Down Under joke where now it's too, oh, this is too low class for us, but then sometimes it's okay. I felt like I was going wacko because I just felt like what I was seeing on the screen was not consistent with what I was being told. And I was like, wait, I'm not allowed to laugh, but I am allowed to laugh. I mean, clearly there were people who like did not do well that missed jokes, right? Okay. So I'm not saying it was like the funniest thing ever. Clearly it was missed opportunities, missed jokes, all of that, but it was not nearly as bad as it felt like the editors were trying to make it seem.
Agreed. I also don't think that Georges was that bad as Alana Glaser. Like I will say this. It was really funny when they kept showing her do like the little tongue, like, because it was so mechanical. It looked like she was one of those mechanical dolls at like Chuck E. Cheese. Like, but even like I thought she captured the spirit of Alana fine. It's just that she didn't have the jokes necessarily to back it up. So everybody had elements of something that was right. Maybe they had the joke, but they didn't have the essence of the character, which therefore made the joke not as funny or something. Like, I could not get past how awful Bosco's voice was for Gwyneth Paltrow. Like, that really bothered me. But at the same
she
time,
she sounded like Alaska.
Hello, RuPaul. I'm Gwyneth Paltrow. Like, I thought it was so bad that was fucking funny to me. And in the same way that like Jasmine's like Southern accent a few weeks ago was so bad it was funny, that's how I felt Gwyneth was, which is what clearly Bosco was going for. Because she even said, like, I have this idea of a characterization of Gwyneth Paltrow. So I just kind of generally, I totally agree with you, Liana, that I really think this was kind of set up a little bit. And I'm going to do one big hot take here. I'm going to argue that on the whole, Snatch Game itself is not ever really good. I feel like every year we are disappointed with Snatch Game. And so what they did this year was they said, well, everyone's always disappointed with Snatch Game. What if we just panned everybody and just go from there? And as a means to troll both the queens and the audience.
Yeah, I do think that we have rose-colored lenses. I think that we enjoy, we remember all of the great. We remember the Little Edie. We remember the T.S. Madison performances. We remember Harriet Tubman last year. We just remember all of the good ones, and then we just expect all of them to be like that, and that's just not going to be the case. Like, some of these queens are just not good at improv. Improv is hard. It is, it's hard to just do improv when you're not, when you're just being yourself, let alone having to put a character on top of all of that. But I mean, and I do take the point that Snatch Game isn't necessarily an acting challenge. It is a comedy challenge. I love that Dove. Well, let's just be clear. I think the best Snatch Game performance of the episode was Dove Cameron as a guest judge on, on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Dove Cameron killed it.
Yeah. She knocked it out.
So fun.
She came to that set with a look. She came to that set ready to critique. She had notes. She like they had no choice but to give her more screen time than Carson. I was like, okay, who's judging this shit over here? So,
and she had a point of view with no agenda. It was amazing. Yeah,
it was great. It was so
every
good.
Time I see a cis white girl come on as a judge, I get a little nervous because I know how us cis white girls can be. Like, I'm really into voguing right now, you know, like you know, but she came in and I was just like, oh, that is what a judge should be, regardless of whatever your identities are. No, she was great. But I totally agree with you, Oman.
Sorry, I'm going back to my conspiracy there. I feel like they heard Willow say there's just going to be one challenge that we all bomb. And the producers were like,
booked it into the story.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is a great quote. Like, this is so good. Let's
how does she
this.
Know we were going to do this in 2 weeks and do a double Shantae next week in order to make sure we had eight queens?
So, like, time it out. Exactly correct. Yeah.
I think I asked this question on this podcast before, but I can't remember our conversation about it. But, like, sometimes I'm like, are we just, not to sound like pretentious at all, are we just like too cerebral and too intelligent for the show? Like, is it that what it is? Yeah. Do most people watch the show and they don't think about this stuff as deeply because they don't have to podcast about it for one and for two. It's just like it's just like mindless television to them. It's like, oh wow, a lip sync tournament next episode. It's going to be so much fun. Like, I'm sure there are so many people out there that are just like that. And I wonder if the vast majority of fans are sort of just like that, and they just don't really give a shit. You know what I mean? And because I know that at least on Twitter, I know that they're the people that are on Twitter are like us. They're like, "What, like, RuPaul? Come on! Like, what are we doing?" So I know that there are people that are like, we're definitely a small contingent, but I wonder if like maybe we are overestimating how big of a contingent we actually are, and if production is just going to pander to whoever they think is going to enjoy the show the most. And not to say that we don't enjoy it. We're all going to be there next week. I'm going to watch it still. I'm going to be watching Drag Race until the wheels fall off. Yes, it is a rabbit race. I'm going to be watching that shit until it's said and done. But, you know, I just wonder, maybe we're just, you know, we're just too smart for it.
That has always been my issue, Aman.
I know, I'm
that
too is smart.
Just my biggest flaw. I'm just too smart for this.
Well, that's why I'm so smart. I'm curious where the Drag Race casuals are, because normally we would go to Facebook for the Survivor or the Big Brother casuals. So I am trying to see the Facebook page for RuPaul's Drag Race.
I'm actually scared of what this could show.
Yeah, I mean, it's like everybody sort of in line with what the show edited together. Such a disappointment, painful to watch, except for Deja. I'm trying to look for something with the lip sync, but like definitely in terms of their interpretation of the Snatch Game, it was what the show telegraphed.
I have learned that Facebook is the place where you go to fall in line with anything. Just generally speaking, it could be politics or it could be whatever. And Twitter's the place where you go to complain about everything. And so you have to find the middle ground where I don't know where that is. If it's what, TikTok?
I just like being, I guess I just enjoy the people that really take time to understand the editing style of RuPaul's Drag Race, which is why I do watch so many Drag Race YouTubers to hear their perspective about not only because we can understand the edit for what it is. We know when we're being fed something. We know when someone is being made to be in the bottom, or if it's a ploy and a red herring to make us think they're going to be in the bottom, but they're not. Like, we've become pretty attuned to how editors do that. I guess now the question that I like to get answered is, why is it like that? Why are you why is production putting a lot of emphasis behind this particular queen so early on? What is the story that they are trying to tell? What stories and storylines and arcs do Drag Race production typically favor over others? Do we like the fashion queen that ends up to have a heart of gold that isn't a stuck up bitch, or do we like the quirky queen that's underestimated and it ends up pulling it out like an Evie Alina Jinx? What is the meta of Drag Race? And that's sort of that's where I feel like I need to go now, because I feel like the edit within itself is just not that interesting anymore on its own.
Okay,
I still can't find anything about the lip sync SmackDown. No one has said a word about it. And I'm scrolling down through the page trying to find something. It's mainly just this is the worst Snatch Game ever. So, again, this sucks. Yeah. This was bad. Blah, 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 blah.
I didn't think that Angeria was that bad as Tammy Brown. I laughed. The physicality was all there.
I agree that with Michelle that it was just completely one note. And also, she missed so many isms. I was hoping for her to pull out some of did I ever tell you about the time I found a dead body? Just stuff like that, that would have been amazing.
Okay.
Or the,
Teletubbies teleport us to Mars.
Okay.
So here's the thing. This is how, again, I go back to the editing. Okay. So they could have given the critiques the way that they did, or the critiques could have been Angeria, you're Tammy Brown. We wanted more of those isms. We wanted more of the, we wanted more of that. However, it was still really funny because blah, 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 blah. It was weird. It was almost the way that Jujubee got positive critiques for her Cher impression. It was it was a caricature of a caricature of a caricature. Oh, well, that's what you did with Tammy Brown here. It was a caricature of a caricature. Yeah. So I could see her then somehow getting a positive critique based on exactly the same performance.
Same with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yes, exactly. The Gwyneth Paltrow thing was at a whole, I think maybe, I don't know, maybe Bosco was too smart also, because she even mentioned when they're getting ready for the challenge, I'm not doing Gwyneth Paltrow like Gwyneth Paltrow. I'm doing her as the snake oil salesman that she has become with Droop, because that's what we can say without being, sued by Goop. That was really funny concept, right? So then maybe it was just there were things missing in the execution, but I could see still that getting positive critiques. So maybe
it was a very intelligent approach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, totally agree. It was very cerebral, very much you kind of have to think about the jokes that are being told to you. So maybe it was it wasn't stupid humor enough, or maybe the queens didn't push it far enough. So maybe she didn't push it far enough. Maybe Lady Camden didn't push it far enough as William Shakespeare, and they were just hoping for more. I don't know. Obviously, we weren't in the room, but clearly we all have very strong opinions about this.
So if you guys had to choose who the bottom two were, who would they be? I know who my bottom two would be, but I want to hear what yours would be.
So I did. I tried to go through and I tried
not
to
including
pick
the runway. Just performance.
Just performance. I tried to pick where I would put people. I felt like Willow did not do well.
She's
fundamentally
one of my bottom two.
I think I probably would have put Willow in the bottom two. Then I think it's really a toss up for me between Georges, maybe Jasmine, depending on the interpretation, or Daya, I think probably. I think I would have had Deja, Bosco, and Lady Camden in the top.
Yep.
Yes. So my bottom two would be Willow, and then either one of Jasmine, Georges, or Daya.
Okay. Willow's definitely, I think, the one who did the worst out of everyone.
Yeah, I think Willow, and I'm trying to remove my bias. And I'm also trying to see through the edit and trying to read between the lines.
Right.
Was it Jasmine or was it Georges? I feel like it might have been Georges.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'd probably say Georges and Willow. Yeah.
Maybe that's why I want Georges sending Willow home.
Probably. I was going to say, for me personally, Willow definitely. Diabetes the other one, because not only did I just feel like the whole characterization was off point, She was also just copying answers off. Like,
yeah. I thought that was the gag. Was it like he's too senile to like come up with his own thing, so he's gonna copy? I don't know.
I didn't even get that as a gag. I just thought that he was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, I'll just write this down. Like,
it was a bit like. Yeah, there was a bit of like, because I mean, it is an improv challenge, and it's, you should never shut down whatever the prompt is. You have to go with it. And so there was a bit of that as well. But I think what pushes, like what she did to save herself was sort of go over the top where some of the others were not. So I feel like at the end of the day, if you ham it up, you will save yourself. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think that she delivered on that front. But Georges and Jasmine did not.
Yeah, I kind of feel like then if you were to add in the runways, I loved Willow's runway. I thought the whole category was an interesting choice. Like,
what's the category?
Okay, so this was the utmost confusion to me. It was holy couture. Now, I interpreted that as high fashion with holes in it, like holes. But no, it was like religious holy, not like Swiss cheese holy.
But somebody, whoever would have went with that one, would have probably had the best look, in my opinion. Like,
which I was, right? I thought that was what Willow was going for at first, was the holes. And then I realized, like, no, she really is just trying to be a mushroom.
She, like, worships mushrooms. So I don't know. Maybe it was like, I heard a lot of worship. So maybe it was like worship couture was maybe what they were originally given or something with that. Because it felt like it was like religious-y things. So something you worship, but then everybody I felt like interpreted it differently, because like Angeria, for example, was dressed as, you know, the church lady, right? And then Willow was like, I'm a mushroom. I was like, okay. So you worship mushrooms, is that like what it is? That's your, because then also Lady Camden was, I'm the Spice Girls because I worship the Spice Girls,
right?
Okay.
I just there's a part, now don't get me wrong, I'm not really religious at all. I consider myself agnostic. I could see how this runway would become very controversial very quickly. In a sense of appropriation, not to the Christian churches. I don't care that much because they're hegemonic power, so whatever. But like, if you had done something that was like a take, if you weren't a Jewish queen, for example, and you did something that was like a take on Judaism, that could be very controversial. If you did something that was, I don't know, I just felt like this was in such a weird territory that you had to be able to say, what is something that I personally follow spiritually or religiously? So that's what everybody did. So I believe the prompt they got wasn't about do something that is religious in nature, but I'm sure that it was, hey, what's something that you personally find, you know, spiritual or something that you do? Because we all know that RuPaul is really big on everybody should have a spiritual practice. Like, you know, he used to talk about all the time on What's the Tea, making sure that every guest he had on, he would ask, hey, so what do you do as like a spiritual practice? Like, some people have church and that kind of thing, but other people do meditation. Like, what is something you do that's spiritual in order to get in tune with that side? That, I think, makes much more sense, because then you're getting to know that queen a little bit better through the vulnerabilities, but it just doesn't come across that way with holy couture.
Yeah, it should. You need the name needs to be better, because like, because I mean, I agree with what you're saying. Like, I mean, every time you go into religion, you are sort of entering a territory that can get very dicey. And maybe that's not something that you want to do on a show like Drag Race, where, you know, everyone has the potential to become super offended, because I think drag within itself is very much meant to be in that lane and offend you and challenge your ideas about that. So like, if you want to wear something that's a little sacrilegious, go ahead, girl. Like, I mean, if you're okay with, you know, the church coming for you, then go ahead. Like, you know, do what you got to do. But yeah, I can understand, you know, I can understand the prompt being a little bit more personal, but it does sort of like, it does. I mean, and then you can kind of do whatever you want then. Like, it's like whatever you choose to worship that day. Like, I could say that I really, really worship some Jiffy peanut butter, so I'm gonna dress up like peanut butter today. And it's like, all right, so where are we going here? You know what I mean? So they should have given us a bit more of a, because that's what we got, you know, so many different interpretations on the runway.
Well, Okay, what is Deja worshiping? Because this Deja was the first one to walk the runway, and this is what extra made me confused. I was still confused about the whole thing. But then, what is she worshiping?
She said she worships bad bitches, and so she's paying homage to the original bad bitch, Joan of Arc.
Yeah, and it's a direct homage of whenever the Met Gala had heavenly bodies as their theme, and Zendaya wore something very similar to this, also paying homage to Joan of Arc.
Okay.
So it's sort of like paying homage to Zendaya's homage to Joan of Arc.
Okay, perfect. Good. Because I was very confused. Apart from the collar, and then she said that it was Joan of Arc, but then I was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to. I was still caught up about the holes thing. So like maybe that was like a whole thing.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, Jasmine comes out and like has the reveal, but her look was like, just night sky kind of thing. Was that like
So it came out first and she had the Gemini.
Yeah.
So she, so what she was doing was talking like about her horoscope as her sun sign as a Gemini.
Okay.
And then she got rid of that. And now she is like the galaxy itself, right? Representing like all of astrology. I actually loved her look. Both looks.
Oh, I think she had
the best look. I think she had the best look and the best concept for the runway, to be perfectly honest.
Okay.
Yeah. There's some other good ones.
Those are the ones I had the most questions about in terms of like how they fit with the category. Cause I think maybe they were the first two and then it like took me a while to figure everybody else out. But yeah, I thought Jasmine's was like absolutely gorgeous. It was very pretty. And I thought that the reveal also was unexpected. And so that was nice.
It was a clean, different kind of reveal. We're used to something where somebody pulls something down or whatever. And this was like almost like she kind of ripped it off this way. And I thought that was really cool. I think, and that for me is why Jasmine would have moved to either third place or like the third bottom place or even to safe, was because I really felt like if you really take what her character was and the things that she did bring and then this look, she would be safe for me this week versus Diabetti, I think, had one of the worst runways. I thought it was so ugly. I hated every moment of that look, but you can agree. You can like it, Amon. That you're grin right now.
I love Lady Gaga, so I got it immediately. But I will say that so when she fell and it was unintentional, I mean, for the most part, she did go with it. But I'm like, girl, if you're going to be on here wearing Gaga looks, at least know what you're doing. Like, you could have made that work not only by just like going with it, but literally it's Lady Gaga masquerading as Mary Magdalene, and literally at the end of the Judas music video, she gets stoned to death and falls to the floor. Say that! Like, it's like, no, you're not. I was so pissed off when she didn't say that. I was like, oh my god, you could have gone for that. And she just went right over her head.
I thought it was on purpose. I thought it was on purpose, Amon, because I was like, oh, that may... Wait. It's a... Wait, what?
I was come on.
I knew the fall wasn't on purpose because your ankles do not go in that direction.
It was getting very much America's Next Top Model season 7 when Tyra made them wear those sky high ass stilettos down at the judging panel. Oh my God. How did she not get sued for that? That was crazy.
I thought for sure we were going to see a medevac. I was like that. I thought her like bone was going to be sticking out. They showed that like 3 times too in a row. It's not like they just show it when she falls. They're like, and now let's go back and watch in slow motion. And I'm like, her body's going this way, but her ankles are going this way. That's not good. That's not good. Even if you're trying to do a religious runway, even if you don't do the stone to death thing, which is what I thought she was going to do, I thought maybe she would at least like genuflect or something because she's on her knees, which is where so many people pray and do that kind of thing. But no. Just like, I'm going to do the same movement the entire time. This thing. I just didn't like I felt like the dress itself, I could tell was a Frankenstein, let's put a whole bunch of wedding dresses together, but not like it didn't either go to, it should have gone way further with, wow, look at how many dresses are together. or made it look more seamless, like it was one dress. It looked somewhere in the middle. So for me, it looked discombobulated rather than like the concept of doing mm-hmm. that look, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's fair. I think another look that I didn't think deserved some of the hate that it got from the judges was Lady Camden's. I thought this was really cute. I love the way that she merged all of the Spice Girls kind of together into one. And again, it's something that she worships. So going based on that interpretation of the prompt, I felt like this really fit the assignment. So I was just, I felt like Lady Camden wasn't getting her due this episode, and I felt defensive for some reason. So I just wanted to mention that.
I also don't get how that is costumey.
I don't know. Girl, I don't know.
I feel like that's their go-to critique when they don't know what to say about when they don't like it.
It's borderline
too costumey. I'm like, this is a costume show. I don't know how to tell you all this.
Technically it was couture, I mean,
if you want to say it looks crafty, that's one thing, but I didn't even think it looked crafty. Like, it looked good to me.
I was like, meanwhile, Deja is wearing a costume. I don't know what to tell you. Your top person is literally wearing something I feel like is an actual costume you could pick up somewhere. Just tailored a little better.
Okay, let's see. What else? Anything else from the episode? So we do have the mini challenge to talk about, which was the create a wearable pop art using nothing but bubble wrap. I know, honestly, in all the drama from the rest of the episode, it was totally an afterthought. I thought some of the people put together looks that were like so good in such little time. I was very impressed by that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fine.
I'm surprised I forgot about that because it was celebrating my favorite thing, which is seltzer. I was like, oh, bubbly. I love bubbly. And then when they all went back and untucked and they had the, I was like, the way I'd just be like, can I have like six more cans for my hotel room? That'd be great. Thank you.
Just an ad for bubbly.
Okay. Listen, I've given up on trying to get Polar to sponsor me.
I'm sorry.
It's a sad moment in my life.
One day. Okay, so yeah, honestly, nothing much to say about that. I just hope they send somebody home. I'm just praying. I'm worshiping.
It's time. It's time to nip it in the bud. We're reaching the end of the wire, and from apparently some of the latest spoilers that we're hearing about a supposed season of Drag Race that's supposed to come on after this season. This season is supposed to end, I think, April 20-something. So you got about a little over a month left. Mm-hmm. So I guess they do have five at the very most to get this stuff down to the wire.
Send these queens home. Yeah. So that is the rumor. So the rumor / real thing that's happening is a all winners season. Yes. We're having Winners at War Drag Race edition. I'm very excited. I don't believe we have the cast list for that yet, but we will be talking about that and then most likely covering it when that season airs. So stay tuned.
We don't have an official announcement of the season itself either, but we know. And with that, I also pretty much know who's on as well.
Okay. We will get
there. But here's the thing. I'm going to put this out there again. I like seeing spoilers for who will be on certain things. I don't like looking at spoilers as to like what happens in a mm-hmm. season. And there were some people who have like started tagging us in things a couple weeks in advance of being like, I like, you know, the whole Willow thing with like predicting that there would be a challenge or whatever and be like, oh, I hope this doesn't come to bite them all in the bat. And I'm like, you knew. Don't tag me in this stuff. Like it's fun to bring it up now. That's funny. But like, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a good reminder. Don't tag us in those kinds of spoilers, right? Because we want to enjoy the show and be shocked and be surprised and be angry. If I get all my anger out beforehand, what will I do on the podcast? This is my ranting session.
Yeah, if I already know what's going to happen and then I go to podcast about it, it's like so boring. I'm like, yeah, well, I knew it was going to happen.
Okay. All right. Let's wrap up this section of the podcast. We can briefly discuss Drag Race UK versus the world. So Amon, what do you have going on? Anything you want to plug? Social medias, all that?
You can always follow me everywhere at Amon Adwin. Knee deep in BBK 10 coverage. It's been a volatile season so far. So check that on out over at RHAP. And I just recorded another segment of the Casual Tea with Amon and B over on the Purple Pants podcast. It was a good one, y'all. We got into some shit. So definitely check that out. It should be in your podcast feeds Tuesday of this week. And then, always, at the choir room with Matt talking about Glee.
All right. Beautiful. Beth, what about you?
Same old, same old. You can follow me at AugustaWind11 on all my social media. I'm also still on my weekly meltdown. We are covering both Survivor and BBCan 10. And then Hot Mess Moments coming to you with The Nanny and Loss. And Amon's whole thing earlier about, like, are we just too cerebral? Because we were covering The Nanny last night and I was like, I'm going to be honest. I think that we're dissecting the structure of The Nanny a little too much. It's a sitcom from the 90s. Nobody's thinking of these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. There weren't even podcasts then. No one was planning for that to be.
Like, we're like, you know what? I feel like what they're changing the style with which they bring up a problem. I'm like, it's a dumb show from the 90s. I don't think we need to take it this seriously. No.
All right. Well, we will continue to take this dumb show way too seriously. And you can follow me on Twitter at Liana RHAP, podcasting about Survivor with RHAP B&B. Mike Bloom and I are going to be getting together with the Love is Blind crew, who just wrapped their season. So that will be Mary and Asia. And then Puyi and I are also covering The Masked Singer, which we just recorded the premiere episode this past week, which was a total mess. Very silly, very fun. So I highly recommend you check that out. Okay, let's jump on into Drag Race UK versus the World. So it's done. It is the finale. We have our winner, and it is Blue Hydrangea, who is crowned the winner of UK versus the World. Beth, how did you feel about the finale?
At least the final two were correct.
Oh, thank God.
Ultimately, I just think this was relatively boring. I wanted more tea to come out. And like the little reunion untucked that we had, I felt like the lip syncs were kind of underwhelming. They weren't amazing. Holy shit. Crap. This is amazing. But they weren't horrible. They were just kind of solid. But I do think that Blue Hydrangea had an earned win here and proud of her. I'm excited that she won.
Yeah. Amon, how about you? How'd you feel?
So I will be honest. I did not get a chance to watch everything yet.
Oh, no. Spoilers for you.
I got. I had already been spoiled.
Yeah.
I had been spoiled because I was on Twitter like Tuesday night, and then I saw the congratulations, Blue Hydrangea.
Yeah,
like, damn it. And then I was like, well, now I don't feel like watching it now. And then I just like never got around to it. But I will say that I did see that both Moo and Mo and that move, move and blow. I was pleased that Blue and Mo did end up as the top two, and it was the fact that Jujubee is now third place again. It's just like, what is going on here? Like, it's like, sis, obviously, if this was whole strategy for you, Jujubee, where you decided not to be a threat so that you wouldn't get sent home, it didn't work this time either, because now you're third place again. So if you get asked to come back for another season of Drag Race, I don't care what it is, bring your A game, up them looks, and stop being so mediocre. That's all I got to say to you, boo-boo. We love you. We always will. You're the great Jujubee. But come on now, girl. Come on. Come on.
I will say this. Her finale look was the best she's ever looked on any runway and any season that she's ever done.
I'm glad to watch that.
To your point, Amon, it was somewhat simple enough that I'm like, I could have seen you do this in All-Star 6. Six? Five.
Five.
They're all melding.
I know.
Five. I just kind of feel like, I don't know. It was beautiful. It's the best she's ever looked. Everything from head to toe was gorgeous.
I think that's a problem with Juju. She's got those moments of greatness. And so it's like, yeah, that super, super, superstar is in there instead of just a charismatic superstar. Yeah. But then so many of the times it feels like a missed opportunity. So I totally hear what you're saying, Amon. Look, this was so boring. This was so boring. So Drag Race UK versus the World has been my Tuesday workout video. So I download it, I go to the gym, and I do my little stair stepper, do the treadmill. Okay, and I was like, I am so fucking bored because it was just talking about nonsense. And then I was like, I'm done. I get off, I go to like do some weights, and then it start, it's getting exciting with the reunion, which I totally get, Beth, that you wanted more, but it was still really fun to have, you know, Pangina and Jimbo in the same room again, and Blue was there, and I felt like some teeth came out. That was actually somewhat entertaining. And then we got the underwhelming lip sync, so at least we could say that, well, Mo and Blue were the two that were at the end, so at least I didn't have to worry, because once I was like, oh my God, is Baga going to be in the final? Like, I'm not going to be able to stay calm if there is a chance that Baga or Jujubee will win this season. So once it got down to those two, Mo and Blue, I was like, okay, ugh, that's fine. I can relax. I can breathe easy. And I kind of didn't really care of the two of them, which one were to win, but I'm very happy for Blue. I wanted Mo to get her recognition, but I did feel like Blue probably one-upped her in all of the lip syncs and in the competition. She had the win. So
we should have known it was going to happen when they had that whole storyline in the premiere about like when Blue confronted Mo saying like, well, I was, you know, there at the club one of those nights when you were there and you were kind of rude to me. So now this is like the whole closing of that arc of like Blue beating the girl that was mean to her in the beginning. So,
I forgot about that. That is a fabulous callback. I actually love that as like coming full circle that now, you know, the girl whose name you didn't remember, like she's the one who beat you at the end. That's beautiful. I love that. Or Blutiful, I guess I should
say. Blutiful. I will say my favorite line from this finale was when Mo chooses Baga, and Baga goes, why would you choose the dancer?
Well, Mo was like, I have to make the strategic choice. Like, I have to make the obvious choice.
That was pretty great, too. Mo going, this is all strategy. It's strategy. I'm doing
So what did she have to choose her for?
So, go ahead, Beth.
Oh, so Mo had, they did like the little spinny thing to figure out who does the first lip sync.
Yeah, it was the lip sync.
And so she chooses to go against Baga, and everyone starts laughing afterwards because Mo's like, I'm just doing the strategic choice. This is the smartest choice you can make. It's purely strategy. It's nothing personal. I'm choosing Baga. And everyone starts laughing because Baga goes, why would you choose the dancer? Like, makes no sense. You know, it was so funny.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that part was amusing. Yeah, I think I would like skip the first half of the episode. I would probably watch the little reunion thing that they did. And then I would probably watch the lip syncs just to like have the sense. But
you have to watch the runway because you need to watch Lemon's runway. It was my favorite thing.
Lemon came back with a vengeance because she's been singing like a little yellow canary ever since she got eliminated. So
come on. It changed my life. I loved that runway so much. It was so
Lemon was asked, what did you learn? And she was like, nothing.
That was my favorite thing. Because didn't she ask that of everybody else? And they were like, what did you learn? She went, nothing.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The reunion was the best part. And like Pangina interacting with Jimbo and Jimbo being like, I could have called you this, saying a bunch of shady stuff, but I didn't. But she had just said it.
But I'm not going to.
It was very like old Untucked energy where people were willing to be shady and weren't worried about what the fans were going to say. So that was really, truly a joy to watch. But okay.
I did like some of their speeches too when they were
emotional speeches.
Yeah, I liked some of them. I felt like they were really, some of them had some really emotionally powerful things to say. I don't know if I really liked the, why is drag so important in the world here? I feel like that question would have been more powerful had it not been queens only from the UK and the US. You want to hear why drag is important in the world. It would have been great if Pangina was up there or Janie JK, who have two different franchises that aren't as well watched as UK and US, and are from, you know, another one that is from Europe, but somebody who has a completely different cultural approach to drag in Asia. And I think that could have been a more powerful response. And so I hope that should we have that as a question in the future, that we have more representation up there from different countries to answer it. Because I think that could be even more powerful.
What was weird about the whole thing was it was like, let's go through your journey. The season was like 6 episodes long. I was there. I watched them fail throughout the whole season.
Let's talk about how shit you literally all were in different ways.
So, Jujubee, tell us about your three bottom placements in a row. How does that feel like?
I love when she was like, and then I really hit my stride in the challenge.
Last week?
Like last week. It was one challenge and it was a week ago. You don't hit a stride once. That's not how you hit a stride.
I was so excited for this season. It was such a mess. I'm so happy it's over.
You know, how many episodes was that? 6, 7?
Yeah, it was, I think only 6 episodes.
And damn, just remember, like if you could have like shaved off some of the American version episodes and then put it over there, then maybe, you know.
Can we trade? Like, I know it's international, but can we like swappies some of these episodes?
Just think, in the whole time that UK versus the world was on, only like 2 queens were sent home from season 14. Maybe 3.
That's so true. Yeah, because the season started after. So it's 6 episodes. Oh my God. Yeah. Wait, hold on. So we have had 10 episodes of season 14. We had 6 episodes and they managed to eliminate everyone but the winner. So they eliminated 8 queens when there are 8 queens left. Like what? Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
You get our feelings.
Drag math.
Okay, let's get out of here. So boom, we will be back next week to talk about the Lollapalooza things, lip sync smackdown for season 14. No UK versus the world coverage because that is over, and we will keep you posted on what's going on with the all-star season, potentially all winners, all of that nonsense. Okay, so again, you can follow me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. You can follow Beth at AugustaWind11 and Amon Adwin at Amon Adwin. Leave your star ratings and reviews for us on iTunes. You can do that by going to robhasawebsite.com/dragrace. Do it. Please, it will help us. robhasawebsite.com/dragrace. And that does it. That does it for us. So thank you to Scott St. Pierre for all your help behind the scenes. And we'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.